We kick off hour number three, Monday edition of Three and Out. You can give us a shout this hour on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline, 865-546-8200 is the number. Sponsored by the Nextdoor Home Group, it's Eli Corman, his team with Keller Williams. Nextdoorhomes.com to search the listings. They're in the top 5% right here in the Knoxville market. And they want to help you buy and sell with more money left in your pocket using their revolutionary marketing techniques. 865-546-8200 is the number to join the program on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline.
There it is.
Houston ended last hour with a depressing stat from last year.
Yeah, the red zone percentage numbers, pretty good for Tennessee.
Just didn't get there enough. Just one of the worst teams in football.
Right.
Yeah.
Did not get there at all.
We'll circle back around. Let's get to Philly, though, and get his thoughts. Philly, what's up, buddy?
What do you say, Nate? Houston and Billy.
Morning, Philly.
How y'all doing?
I'm pretty depressed after reading these stats.
Well, what are you trying to do this morning? The sugarcoat Jared Garantano?
We're just reading the stats. He's better than you think, Philly, according to stats.
Well, I guess it's all in the eye of the beholder, don't you think?
It's weird. I mean, like we were just talking during the break. You know, you talk about red zone percentage, and scoring points is great, but you know, Clemson and Syracuse had the same amount of trips to the red zone. They tie for first as far as red zone efficiency, but Clemson was scoring touchdowns and Syracuse was kicking field goals. Like, it's not, it seems like there should be some weighted scoring here, and it's not done that way. It seems like an easy thing to do also.
Well, honestly, I mean, I don't know if Jared Garantano is a competent quarterback or not, because the last 2 years is the most least talented Tennessee football teams I've ever seen.
I agree with you.
And hopefully it's going to be upgraded this year.
I think they'll definitely be more talented. But, man, I just – with the OC change, like, we're all hoping for the best from Jim Chaney, but I do wonder what his limitations will be. I mean, we always talk about, you know, the importance of just talent, like guys that can win. Maybe Jared Garantano is a guy that can win. Maybe he's not. But unfortunately, quarterback, as we all know, it's very, very – like, the guys around you make so much of an impact on whether or not you're worth a damn.
Yeah.
And I don't know how good we are everywhere else.
That's true. And you look at the best case scenario is for Garantano to play good enough to either get in the transfer portal and try to go to a better place to play next year, or go to the NFL, or and then have Harrison Bailey as your next quarterback next year. That's the way I look at this thing.
You don't think there's a scenario where Garantano plays well and then still wants to keep playing well?
Well, I mean, that's always possible. But, I mean, if the kid does blow up this year, I mean, he'd be dumb not to go to the NFL if he can get in there. Because he set out a year already, right?
Yes, he redshirted his first year here.
So, and, you know, the clock's ticking. And Garantano's taken a lot of hits in his career.
Maybe more than anyone I can remember.
So, the clock's ticking on your NFL career because he's already been beat up to pulp in college.
Yeah, like I don't know what the magic number is there, Philly. I mean, if he comes back and has a pretty good year and is going to be a fifth round pick, my guess is he would probably try to come back. If he has a decent year and they show really good progress, but he's not graded high enough to like guarantee he should go, I think he would come back. I think he'd come back for year two under Jim Chaney and see if he can, you know, make a run at this thing in 2020.
Well, the only problem is next year they're going to be having a rebuilding receiver core.
You're right. That's absolutely true.
But the offensive line probably ought to be the strength of the offense next year.
That's a weird thing to say, but you would hope, yeah, well, that's the key, right? I mean, you returned everybody this year. You're going to return everybody next year most likely. You would hope that in year three, with essentially the same stack of guys plus the talent you add, that, yeah, the offensive line is not the weak part of your your offensive football team. But to your point, yeah, like, okay, but then you lose four pass catchers plus a tight end. Like, you lose four receivers that are going to be seniors. You're going to lose Dominic Wood Anderson. You're going to return your running backs. But right now, Tennessee's on the recruiting trail trying to go get wide receivers, and they're doing okay. They're in on some names, but you got to close with some blue chippers here.
They at least got to get one great one. I think one great one, you know, even with what they got, it'd be still a pretty good receiving core.
I'd agree with
you. Guys got some size and speed, I mean, which is something they've recruited the last 2 years. They just, the Tillman kid and the other kid from Georgia, they got late last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So hopefully those guys will be, you know, getting better than everybody thinks.
It's going to be weird to watch this team over the next couple of years. You're going to go from decent at the skill positions and quarterback with a horrible offensive line like last year to everything new but the offensive line next year. But I would say that if I'm a coach and I could have my pick of what group I would want to be stronger in that scenario, like, I'm taking offensive line. Like, if I have a mediocre quarterback and not great skill, give me an offensive line that can protect and can block, as opposed to elite skill everywhere else, and we can't get plays off because we can't get a push and we can't protect anybody.
And hopefully they'll have at least one running back to come in, an all-SEC candidate.
That'd be nice.
I would take it.
Do you think they got one on the roster now? I mean, Ty Chandler, I mean, he's more of a I don't consider him just a true running back. He's more like Kamara, isn't he? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, maybe. It's hard to tell, Philly. I mean, I think we talk about all the time with Garantano. Couldn't tell how good he was last year. It's kind of like that with all the guys on offense.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask Billy before I get off here. Has he been overseas at camp yet?
He did put you on a report there.
I did try to go over there, Philly.
Really?
They were. They had some Wrigley Field staffers there. They wouldn't let me get close to the facility.
Very sad.
Yeah, but tell them you ride on the internet side. I mean, I right there, I'll get you in the door on it.
Well, you would think.
I mean, tell me we'll get some pasta pub. I mean, good Lord, I don't get it, do you?
They need some positive pub
not
for the
big,
basketball
not
squad.
Not big on access right now, this time
well,
of year.
Well, what's the latest on the two guys in football and the one guy in basketball? Are they going to get? We're going to know something about NCAA getting them in.
Yeah, that's a good question there, Phil. There was some scuttle over the weekend. Somebody released a screenshot that said Aubrey Solomon was now eligible. Ryan Callahan of 24/7 Sports shot that down and said no, he is still awaiting word on his appeal. Same with Plavzic. I hate being beholden to the NCAA on stuff like this. I do think Aubrey Solomon would make a huge impact for Tennessee's defensive line, as would Plavzic for Tennessee's.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I mean, the front court could definitely use some help, and right now we're just, again, waiting. And then, obviously, in Fally Dante, we've got, I think, a visit with him coming up.
Tennessee, is he coming in?
That was the plan as of last week. I don't know when that'll be. I don't know if they've officially said it, but Tennessee, Kentucky, Oregon, LSU in the mix for the five-star big man of the 2021 class. And it looks like he's hoping to reclassify for the 2020 and would be here in the summer and eligible immediately. And that's a guy that could probably help you right out of the gate. That would be a very big get for Tennessee. Obviously, he would not have an eligibility issue, assuming he graduates. But as far as Plavzic and Solomon and Gibbs, no idea.
Let me ask you about this kid you're talking about. What's the three other schools that are going after him? Do you think we're going to compete with that when it comes to something, you know what I'm talking about?
Well, we are competing. Now, if we win the competition, I don't know.
Kentucky, well, you know what you have to do to win.
I know.
I mean, let's get real.
I know.
LSU? Now, I'll tell you what, Will Wade and Buck Pearl, they know how to avoid it. And just, you know, nothing happened there, and they're still on the sidelines.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Philly.
Well, we're not in trouble either, Philly. We've avoided it.
I think he said see you.
He did. No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Rick Barnes is still on the sidelines.
Remember when Admiral said he wished his coach could act like that?
No, he wasn't talking about
me. He's not talking about paying
Rick.
Dudes. Yeah.
Come on.
Get out of here, bro.
I got crushed for saying he was talking about Rick.
He might have been.
Oh, he was.
Yeah. It's funny, on the 24/7 Sports page for Nfali Dante, Tennessee's not mentioned as a warm interest team.
So we're not even there.
We got in late.
Not competing.
But that's what we were listed in his top four. He's from Kansas, but Kansas was not in the top four. Very strange.
We know how these top schools... We know how this whole thing plays for Tennessee in top four.
Down to
top
Tennessee
six.
And Kentucky. Kansas. You know, we're right there, though, in all sports. We're just right. We just got to figure out what it is that could get us over the hump. What could we do to get. Like, I don't know whether to be like, you know, like put my chest out, like, yeah, look at how far we're getting and not cheating. We're getting so close. We're right there with schools that are offering hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we just don't do it, so we lose these guys. Or. Am I mad that it's like, just give him 20K and let's go. Let's roll out and get some champions.
Yeah.
It's a dilemma. Still waiting on the NCAA on Gibbs, Solomon, and Plavsic, though.
What the hell are they waiting on? It's July 22nd.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, fall camp's in like a week and a half.
The NFL Hall of Fame game is in 8 days. Maybe nine.
I'm pretty sure Solomon enrolled in December, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 8 months.
And they feel good about Plavsic, though. Remember? Remember? Do you remember when they felt good about that? It is kind of funny, though. You got to admit, like, Tennessee's waiting on two really big transfers, and then the NCAA is like, we're adjusting the rules on the transfer.
Unbelievable.
And it's going to take place, I can't remember when they implement the changes. But, like, if you know what the changes are going to be, aren't you already kind of hedging and grading on the new scale?
Yeah.
Like, that's just so frustrating. I mean, hell, I thought Gibbs might be the guy that had no chance, but Fields got clear lickety-split to go to Ohio State. Just say the same thing he said. He's Georgia. Just say the same exact stuff. The baseball player was racist, and I don't feel comfortable at Georgia. Cleared. Also, have you seen all the Michigan stuff? Jim Harbaugh, he's got mental health experts on staff now to make sure his guys are taken care of. Because I bet that's what Solomon's like claiming. Like I was mentally just torn and abused, and I didn't like it there, and I couldn't. And now Jim Harbaugh's like, no, look at all of our staff we have dedicated to such things. So we wait. We wait on the NCAA. By the way, real quick, jumping backwards, Tennessee last year in the red zone, 4.58 points per trip. Clemson, 4.92. So again, our key here this year,
yeah,
get to the red zone more. Because you weren't that bad when you got there. It was the getting there. You know, like 40% as much as Clemson did, you got there. And but the points per possession once you did were pretty good. I mean, nine passing touchdowns in the red zone, that's pretty good. Considering he threw 12. I don't know. Chris may have had a couple of those. I'm not really sure. But I do remember a couple nice dunk tosses to Dom Wood Anderson. One against Kentucky.
West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia, of course. The little slant drag to Jawan Jennings was inside the 20 against South Carolina, where he was grinning as he crossed the goal line and then got the penalty because he put the ball in the guy's chest. Just got to get down there, man. We got jump ball guys. Nate, you said it. We got guys who can play basketball. I feel really good about like three or four of our players in any jump ball scenario. We just got to get into a position where we can, you know, actually throw it to them in the red zone. That'd be good.
We'll come back with more. Just looking at the scores from last year and some more thoughts on this red zone stuff. Stick with us as we talk Tennessee football hour 3 of 3 and Out. This segment of the program brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, the official credit union of 3 and Out. They're celebrating 85 years, and you can join up, become a member. Go to tvacreditunion.com. I was looking at Tennessee's schedule last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't part of the problem that the points you did score against good teams were in games where you just gave up way too many points?
Yeah, it's not good.
You know, it's 47-21 to Florida. It's 58-21 to Alabama. I mean, he scored 3 touchdowns against South Carolina, but of course, you know, you give up 27. You lose by field goal. I mean, you gave up 50 to Missouri. that wasn't all the defense this fall. We know the pick six and that kind of stuff. Give up 38 at Vandy. In my head, I kind of think the defense wasn't that bad last year, but when I look at these scores, I'm like, eh. But then, you know, I think, well, defense didn't have much of a chance in some of these games because the offense was so bad.
Mm. Got to play complimentary football.
It's just hard to decide who to blame.
I mean, Butch Jones.
I'm reminded of this 14-3 game against Charlotte.
One of those touchdowns was a punt return. Shouts out to second team all SEC kick returner Marquez Calloway for that doozy.
I mean, one of your touchdowns against Kentucky was the Hail Mary before the half. That wasn't red zone, right?
No, it was not. Hell of a throw and catch, though. Big Marquez Calloway coming up again.
I mean, Auburn, you had the defensive touchdown.
You did.
On the long fumble play.
Yeah, a couple of good offensive scores in that game, too, though.
You did, yeah.
That fade to Jennings was pretty money. The middle pass to Chandler that he turned upfield for a touchdown was nice. Had another one of those against Georgia.
I feel like we didn't even play that much football when games were in doubt compared to like a typical season.
No.
I mean,
it was kind of an all or nothing year.
Because you weren't like, I mean, West Virginia, second half, didn't matter.
Mm-mm.
Then, and I'm not counting these cupcake games. I mean, they were over in your favor, except for the Charlotte one, basically, before they started. But Florida, like, that game, nothing mattered past their score, or I guess after you didn't get the onsides kick because you tried to get back in the game. Like, mm-hmm. That one was over. Georgia, you, like, caused a fumble that led to their touchdown somehow. But that game was, you know, a blowout. Auburn was close all the way. You actually had the two-touchdown lead when they scored to cut to six, and you got the onside kick.
Yeah, Juwan Jennings.
But, you know, that game was a good SEC 60-minute game.
Mm-hmm.
And South Carolina was too. But Alabama, I mean, you kind of blanked Kentucky. That one, there wasn't a lot of drama in that one, really. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Missouri and Vandy were both blowouts. So
the other way.
I think this year might – I think we might have used – we might get paid back this year with a lot of games more like the South Carolina one. That's just my guess. I'm hoping that's good news. I'm hoping that means we play a lot more consistently. And so even when teams are a little better, it's a close game. And when we're a little better than the other team, it's a close game that Tennessee ultimately wins.
We're just ready for some football here.
Weren't there some new lines that came out? Wasn't there a line that like had BYU only a 4-point dog?
Mm, great. I hadn't seen that one, no.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That came out over the weekend.
Mm, good. Yeah, that's great. I'm excited.
But, I mean, you got BYU.
I really did like that hype burst 2 weeks ago.
At Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to count that one as one that could be close.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi State, South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri. I mean, you got seven, maybe eight games that could all be tight.
The early lines would suggest as much.
You like that burst, the FPI. Did you see Craig Fitz, your boy, getting some love from the players on the pool day?
I always love the pool day.
Yeah?
I feel like that's always good.
It wasn't just the pool day, though. They didn't have to run after practice.
Right, well, the pool day's always like the, hey, we're going to go work out. Not pool.
Cut it short.
Looked like they had a good time. Looked like the players really appreciated it, too. You know,
yeah. One player was coming off the field and was like, "They really do love
they
us.
They care. They care about us." They threw big Craig Fitz in the pool. No, I always like that. Like, maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't. I always like seeing it when Georgia would do that, and they did it every year, so the players kind of expected it at some point. I don't remember. I mean, I remember Tennessee taking the guys to the pool. I don't remember a day where it was such a celebration. That was a really cool little video feature they did. By the way, VFL Films is they might be the best as far as graphics, video, content, everything. They do such a great job. But no, that was really, really neat. It does feel like it feels like there is more of a relationship this year between coaching staff, strength staff, and players. You know, we talked a little bit last week about Jarrett Garantano mentioning Jeremy Pruitt and his wife inviting him over for dinner and kind of, in his words, hashing some things out, talking about last season, just really getting to know each other. Jeremy Pruitt has said multiple times, like, I need our staff and our players to trust each other. We need to be more together instead of coaches, players. It needs to be Tennessee, the team. And I feel like they are doing a really good job at pushing things in that direction. I don't know how quickly that pays dividends, but it did work for Mark Richt. I know he didn't win a national title, but he won a lot of football games. You know, Clemson doing the whole thing with the putt-putt and the this and the that. I mean, they seem to have a pretty good coach-player bond, whereas at a school like Alabama, like, you're probably never going to see that at Alabama. And if you do, they're not going to publicize it because they don't want to be known as the team that gives their guys a day off. But I did like the, I don't know, the message it sends, like, hey, you guys are working hard. We realize this is difficult. We realize that you give a lot of effort and a lot of hours to this. Let's go actually have some fun together and just go to the pool. It kind of reminds you, I guess, that these are kids. These are young men who we all want to score touchdowns and you know, get sacks on Saturday, but it's also a bunch of 18 to 23-year-old guys who, whew, it's a lot, man. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of work. And to see them kind of get rewarded for the hard work that they put in. Because I'll be honest, Georgia, it felt like they did it no matter what. This doesn't feel like something Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt, Craig Fitzgerald would do if he felt like his team wasn't earning it. They weren't giving forth the effort to deserve a day off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they say, right? If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. So I thought that was a pretty cool storyline of the summer. Like, hey, we're going to the pool, having a good time. And the players seemed to really enjoy it. Like, it didn't seem canned. It didn't seem fake. It didn't seem, hey, we're doing this, act excited. They all seemed genuinely pumped that, yeah, like the coach, like, we're not just machines to them. We actually are people working hard, and they're going to reward us when they can. Thought that was pretty neat. Now we just got to win, you know, football games.
Well, it's a start. At least we know we're trying.
I'm all in on the football game winning.
At least we're actually doing football things during the offseason. It's a nice start with, you know, the new regime. We'll come back with more. Stick with us. Hour 3 rolls on here. It's Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Been talking Tennessee football. If you miss any portions of the show, you can always hit up the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, whatever you prefer. Did you see what Pat Fitzgerald said about declining attendance?
No, but I saw there was a lot of response to it. He blamed millennials?
No.
Oh.
He blamed cell phones.
Cell phones.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he used an example of being at a restaurant, and I don't remember if he said how old the people were. He probably said young people or
younger
something.
Younger than him, yeah.
He said there was like, I don't know, six people?
Four couples.
Four couples, so eight people. And none of them were, they were all just on their phones. And he said he, you know, made him want to get up and walk over and like parent and say, put your phones down and talk to people.
Hmm.
But he said that.
So how are the cell phones keeping people from going to the game?
He said people are just so plugged into their technology that they're just used to getting all their information that way and consuming everything that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's that makes people less likely to go to the game.
I think his problem is that he's at Northwestern.
Well, it was a global question, though.
I mean, I get that the game and
they didn't say why. I'm just clearing. I mean, I'm just setting the stage.
But
they didn't say why.
No,
attendance.
I understand. I just
declining at Northwestern.
Can we ticket prices going up? Concessions going up? I think maybe the issue here is not that the people aren't interested in going because they have a cell phone. I think it's the issue being it's costly to go to a game. The tickets are not cheap. I mean, we were talking about the Georgia game, $110 a ticket. I mean, that's up there, man. The $110 a ticket, you know, if you want to take a family of three, well, there's $330. Then you're talking about waters for everyone. And it's just at Tennessee, let's say everyone gets two waters, and well, there's $24. couple hot dogs. I mean, you're talking close to $400 plus, you know, with parking and travel and all that. Like, it's expensive. Yeah, I mean, like, and I will agree with him to an extent. You know, the in-home experience now, the TV experience is so much better. And it's like, it's just weird to me that these leagues and NCAA football as a whole don't understand. It's like, wait, you're getting all of this money now as a university because people are watching on TV, yet you're raising prices for people who want to watch in stadium. Like, there's no offset, right? Like, you just stack the money. You don't say, well, we're making all this extra money now through TV. Maybe we should leave the ticket prices the same or lower the concessions or whatever. No. It's up, because now we can just make double the money that we were. You've done it to yourself. And a lot of these cases, like take Tennessee, for example, you've been just dog for, you know, a decade now. You've raised prices throughout. The at-home experience is good. And for a lot of your games, it's over by halftime. So you're paying $100, $110 a ticket for a game that you're not even going to be competitive in. Yeah, man, like people aren't going to just like line up to buy that ticket. That's why I really appreciate, you know, some of these universities and pro teams that are like, hey, we get that the tickets are expensive. We're going to at least lower concessions. They're going to be affordable. Well, we're not going to raise ticket prices this year. I mean, when was the last time a university lowered ticket prices? Has that happened?
Well, Tennessee did this year for some games.
But the total cost didn't go down.
No.
I don't know. I'm not saying people aren't more plugged in via their phone. I'm not saying that. I think we all are. I think everyone would agree with that. I just don't think that if the product's good and the price is fair, that people aren't going to show up because they have a phone.
Yeah, I think I think his point about cell phones and people consuming stuff is obviously correct. But saying that's a causation to declining attendance, I think that's a small part of it. I do think that's a factor, but it's probably outside the top three or four for me. I mean, I don't think it's a factor in terms of like, oh, I'd rather be on my phone than be at the game. But I know there are weeks, there's going to be weeks this year where Tennessee's playing an opponent that's not that appealing.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody said, hey, Nate, do you want free tickets to the Tennessee game to go watch whoever, you know, one of these non-coms that they're going to crush, I'm going to say, I think I'd rather just keep tabs at that on that. You know, I'm probably still going to watch that whole Tennessee game pretty much every snap at my house. But the reason I want to be at my house is because right before the Tennessee game and right after, I want to be watching the other big games in college football. That's more the foam thing to me with college football fans. It's that if I go to the game, I have to devote most of the day to that one game.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stay as plugged into all of college football.
Yeah, and I guess we are more used now to being plugged in and the ability to be plugged into every game. And you're right. Like, if you go to a game and you want to be on campus, unless you're at a tailgate that has a satellite or a cable box hooked up, like, you're not going to get that. You're going to be able to maybe check your phone for scores, maybe, but the service is usually really bad.
Right.
See, like, that's the thing. There are ways to at least alleviate the problem, to lessen the problem, and the universities have just drugged their feet doing that.
We went to Charlotte. You were tweeting stuff about Tennessee's game with West Virginia from the stadium.
Yeah, I can't tweet during a Tennessee game. And I'm not – I mean, I still go, but a lot of people probably don't like the fact – and I'm not saying it's just tweeting. It's like Wi-Fi and cell service in general. People want to be able to check scores. They want to be able to look at other stuff. But that's not their fault. That's the university's fault because there are ways to fix that. Hey, yep. Just on Saturday, like, get a Wi-Fi booster, crank that bad boy up, and let's go. Let's make sure that cell service in and around the stadium can handle the influx of people using their phones, using the data, and the universities haven't done that. It's not the cell provider's responsibility to go to Neyland Stadium and say, hey, on Saturdays, by the way, we'd like to put in an extra cell tower so our people are happy. They're getting their check no matter what. But Tennessee, if you want people on campus, make the on-campus experience as good as you can. I mean, they're trying to sell beer. I think that would help. I think that would help be like, oh, well, I can get a beer now at the game. It's pretty good. But, yeah, I think Wi-Fi is important. Cell service is important. The in-game atmosphere. How easy is it to get into the stadium?
They should show, and maybe there's rights issues here or whatever, But somebody was talking, they should show other games on the Jumbotron during breaks.
Yeah, I mentioned
Hell,
that.
Hell, they don't even do scores of interest anymore.
No.
Someone said Auburn does that during their breaks. Just plays the game.
I mean, I don't, like, I would love to be able to be sitting watching Tennessee UAB and be able to stream on my phone, like, the biggest game right then at the same time. That's what I do at my house. You know? I mean, you would think that would be what they would see that's the difference. Like, I think Pat Fitzgerald's right about people being addicted to their phones, but I don't think that's the causation for attendance.
No.
And if it is, if that aspect is, it's fourth, fifth, eighth on the list. I mean, the cost is a big thing. I mean, you know, we have family that comes in for the South Carolina game, you know, every other year typically, and the tickets went on sale the other day through the ticket office, and they were, I believe, cheaper this year than they were 2 years ago, just straight tickets, and there's more available because the team sucks. But it's still, even then, just to take my family of four, you throw in parking, it's going to be $300.
Yeah.
$300. Or I can say, why don't y'all just come over to the house? I'll buy everybody's food.
Yeah.
I'll have a huge spread. I'll grill.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do steaks, burgers, and dogs. And buy beer. And come in under $300.
Well under.
And I'll be able to watch the game right before, the game right after. I'll be able to, you know, rewind plays or whatever, you know.
Like, I guess the issue is that there's more things to compete for time now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the way you fix that is not to sit back and complain about it. Like, you have to improve your product. College football, more popular than it's ever been. Like, and that's a good thing. But you've priced out so many people, and it's just, like, basically watching at home on a high-def TV with every, like you mentioned, right? I got my beer, I got my hot dogs, I got a bathroom that's not filled with people and mm-hmm. awful. If you want to convince people that the stadium is the better option, then make sure you make it the better option, or at least a comparable option. Now, there are some people, for every team in the country, they're going to go no matter what, every game, doesn't matter. But for a lot of people, like, it's a decision. And back in the day, it was like, okay, I can watch it on crappy TV. I might not be able to get it depending on what channel it's on. Now we have all the channels. We have all, like, yeah, like, just, okay, well, now it's on you, SEC. Big 10, Big 12, like, what are you going to do to improve your in-stadium experience for the people who want to go there? Price-wise, you can't compete with cable, but you can compete in other ways. You can compete with environment. You can compete with just, you know, ease of use.
They
right?
may need to start putting up screens in the stadium that are showing other games all the time. I mean, even during the game you're watching.
I mean,
I would love to sit in an outdoor luxury, like, club level, sit there as I'm watching Tennessee play, and that play ends, and be able to look over and go, man, Ohio State just scored or just got scored on. They might lose, you know, like, all at the same time.
I mean, part of that, though, I mean, you don't want half of your stadium filing up into the, you know, the concourse to watch the end of another game, and I get that.
No, what I'm saying is have, like, put screens in where I can sit in my seat and do both at the same time.
I mean that'd maybe
be crazy, but
that's
why they don't do scores of interest, though. They try to be like the mall or like Turkey Creek. Like, once you're in Neyland Stadium, you're only focused on Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's the completely opposite approach.
Yeah, I feel like if it comes down to, let's say it's November and Tennessee has a chance to win the East and Georgia's getting beat in the fourth quarter, like, that's just going to get Neyland Stadium and
right.
the fans even more pumped up.
I agree. I agree with that. It's just weird. Like, I don't like the excuse making because
it's a good way to put it.
This isn't like college football is being ostracized here. This is affecting anything and everything. I mean, look, businesses around the country, around the world are shutting down because their company can't compete with another company. Right? Like, Walmart moved into your small town, all the local hardware stores closed. Okay. Amazon is kicking Walmart's ass. okay, Walmart's having to cut back, right? They're rolling back employees. You either adjust or you get rolled over. And this is something, though, that, like, you have the product. You have the ability to improve it. You have the ability to make the in-stadium experience everything it needs to be. So just do it. Just spend the money on Wi-Fi, on cell towers, on a couple extra TVs showing other games. Make sure that you're keeping your people in the stands interested and involved in the game when it's time. But when it's not, okay, give them other options in the stadium. Don't outprice them and keep them out in the first place. And then once they're in there, make sure that you have their attention. Like, it doesn't matter. If they're in the building, they're in the building. I think that's the key. Like, I agree with you. But I think even once you get them in the building, you have to do a better job. You can't just say, well, we have the game, so take that. Like, that's why you're here. We got you. Okay, you got me this time, but if I don't have an enjoyable experience, I'm out. If the concessions are too high, if the lines are too long to get in, if it's just a hassle, why would I come back to this? Like, that's on the universities now. Like, I get it. Everyone wants to kind of fan shame, like, well, everyone just wants to go watch TV. It's like, okay, well, then beat TV.
Yeah.
Give them a better option. Give them the live game experience and give them, to your point, what they would be watching on TV. You know, perks of being at the game. Like, this is not hard.
Yeah.
You want people to show up, make them enjoy and feel honored, feel special for showing up. I mean, it's a simple thing once you just even remotely start to think about it. Like, how can we reward the people who actually come to games in a way that makes them want to come back? That's any business. How do I get people to come back to my restaurant? Well, they better have a great time. You better not overprice them. You better have a friendly and helpful staff, and they better not have to wait too long.
Boom.
It's easy. Just work a little harder and don't sit back and complain because everyone has a cell phone. Oh, they can check other scores and they have a TV. We're done. No. Make it better. Work harder. Wi-Fi. Cheaper tickets. Cheaper concessions. A more enjoyable experience. It's really not that hard.
Win some damn football games.
Yeah, winning would help too.
Final segment, Three and Out Monday edition. Kind of reminds me what you said the other day about the beer selling in Houston. You're like, teams are doing this all over the country.
It's not hard.
Call somebody up, figure it out. We were at Charlotte last year for West Virginia, Tennessee.
Well, the problem is they want everyone to have a good time, but they want to figure out how to make the most money off of it. It's like, okay, you either are mad at attendance or you're mad that you're just not making money. So which is it?
Yeah.
Because if you're mad at not making money, then yeah, keep doing what you're doing, count your checks, and let's go. If you're actually mad about people not showing up, give them reasons to show up. Make it easier. Make it more fun. Make it more friendly.
I mean, there are times I don't buy concessions at Tennessee events because I'm going to miss so much of the game.
Yeah.
Basketball or football.
Long wait.
Whereas last year we're at that game in Charlotte and there's a lightning delay and every single member of the crowd is being pushed into the concourses. Mm-hmm. And there were still stations where there was virtually no line because there's so many different options.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's a whole lot more expensive to have that much concession stuff.
But don't you know before the game starts, too? Like, okay, Tennessee, Florida, better have all the stations open.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Tennessee, Charlotte, probably don't need them as much, but let's make sure we have enough. They just don't want to have to think about it. They don't want to have to implement different plans. They just want it to be the same thing every time, and everyone shows up and is happy because they're at the game. No, you got to work a little harder. Sorry. Yeah, there are other things to compete with now. Welcome to America.
I mean, I think you'll always have people that want to show up and watch the big games live. But,
yeah.
I mean, even the best teams in the country are having trouble with these, you know, their cupcake games. Or
well, I agree.
People
like,
showing up late for the game or leaving early. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Like that was Bama's problem. They were up by so much. It's like, okay,
yeah.
Well, then think of something that, if you are leaving the stadium after the final whistle, you get a bag of chips. Like it's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
But no one wants to do that. They don't want to incentivize anything. They want it to be, you pay us top dollar, you buy at full price, and how dare you not like what we give you. It's like, no, the options are elsewhere now, so you're going to have to be a little better. Supply and demand. I just don't. Cell phones. Give me a break, man.
Oh, he's got a cell phone. Can't count on him to watch a game.
No, not at all. Just give him more stuff to do at the game.
I mean, that's like blaming declining attendance on television. Like, not good television, just the fact that people have televisions.
Mm.
It's like, well, people had televisions 15 years ago when attendance was at its peak or whatever. Like, people still like saying, I went to the game. Did you go to the game? Let's go hang out at the game. You know, what people still want to say, I was in the stadium when that happened,
yeah,
instead of I saw it on my television.
For Tennessee, though, it is a compounding thing. If you just haven't been good in forever, so you've lost the trust of people. Like, Tennessee's
it's
one of the...
It's amazing Tennessee still gets the numbers they do.
Yeah, really. I mean, if you start winning, this problem is gone. So, but that's the issue, right? Like, you weren't winning, and you still didn't do anything to enhance the in-stadium experience, and you still raise ticket prices every year. Like, you did this to yourself. But there, I mean, Bama had a problem with people leaving early because they're up, you know, 40 and 50, and everybody just wants to get to the bar, you know, beat the rush. I get that. I'd say, okay, well, how do you get them to stay? Well, put your thinking cap on and figure it out. Like, hey, if Bama scores 50 and you are leaving the stadium after the final whistle, you get this.
Fitzgerald's answer would have been the answer if somebody said, hey, why do you think ratings are down for college football? Not, and I don't know if they even are. They probably are in some spots and up in others. But like, oh, because people just check the score and the highlights on their phone. They don't actually have to watch the games as much anymore. Like, that would have made more sense than attendance.
Yeah, attendance for anything is like the quality of the spectacle, right? Mm-hmm. There you go. How do you improve the quality of your event? That's how people show up. How do you keep them entertained the whole time? That's how they stay.
Andy tweets in that they definitely need to get another big screen for the north end zone. That's got to be near the top of the list, right? The renovations.
I mean, it was on the original renovation plan. That seems easy. Like a scores of interest board on the ring. Like, okay, just let me keep up a little bit.
Yeah.
Better entertainment at halftime, too.
He's Houston Kress. I'm Nate Hodges. For us and Billy Williford, we appreciate you tuning in to 3 and Out. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. The Blitz is next. Rick Butler, Chance Collins, Brandon Warwick. Keep it locked in here for more Fan Run Radio.